Welcome to the Watoto Church Podcast. Prepare your heart as we listen to the message.
Welcome to an absolutely wonderful day, the day we celebrate the fact that Jesus rose from the dead.
Happy Easter, Watoto family. We are so glad that you are able to join us this day. And for those of you that are meeting in person, we want to say welcome home. We have missed your beautiful faces. It was 38 years ago that Gary and I started Watoto Church here in Kampala. 75 people showed up for that very first service, but the most important person of all showed up, Jesus. And you know, when Jesus shows up, his presence changes everything. And over the past 38 years, we have literally seen the transformation of tens of thousands of people. But we've also seen the transformation of an entire country as Jesus, his presence has literally infiltrated every sphere of influence. In this year that's been so difficult, a year of COVID, when we've had so many restrictions on us, we have a lot to celebrate today. We have so much to thank Jesus for. So won't you join us as we worship him? Won't you join us as we lean into him and lean into everything that he has for us? May this be the best Easter that you've ever had. Gary has a message that's been burning on his heart. I know you're going to be blessed by it. So get your Bible out, get your notebooks out, and get ready, because Jesus is about to speak to you.
Wonderful. Thank you, sweetheart. God bless you. And yes, it is true. It's been a tough year, but let's never forget, God sits on the throne. Jesus sits on a throne in heaven. He's ruling the universe. The future is bright. Things are not going to be bad. They're going to be great. Jesus is coming back. Well, today we remember the fact that Jesus rose from the dead, and I want to read some scripture because the scripture is so important. Scripture gets into our hearts and changes our lives. Father, bless your word as we preach it in Jesus' name. Amen. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the woman took the spices they had prepared and they went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living here among the dead? He's not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in the Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and he ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. Now, this is the part I want you to notice today. The same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" Jesus asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of the women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but they didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said to them, 'He was alive.' Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but they did not see Jesus." He said to them, How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer all these things and then enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he was going far further. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it's nearly evening. The day is almost over." So Jesus went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and they returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It's true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke bread. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they had seen a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have." When he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still did not believe it, because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." When he had led them out of the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and he blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they stayed continually at the temple, praising God. Wow, what a wonderful portion of Bible scripture that tells us about the resurrection of Jesus. And I want to talk a little bit about this today, especially something that happened on Resurrection Sunday. And I hope it'll be an encouragement to you. You see, on Sunday, Jesus took a walk. They had taken his body down from the cross on Friday, and he was very, very dead. But on Sunday, 3 days later, he took a walk. And it was a walk with purpose. He wanted to meet two of his disciples, and he wanted to show them that he was alive. These two disciples were walking down the road from Jerusalem to Emmaus. It was Cleopas and possibly his wife that were walking, and they were talking about what happened on Friday when Jesus joined them in the walk. And he joined in to the conversation. "Hey, what's up, guys? You don't know?" "Know what?" "About Jesus. They killed him. He was a prophet." These two disciples still didn't understand that Jesus was much more than a prophet. He was the Son of God. They needed to meet him and find out that he was much more than a prophet. And then they said to Jesus, "There are rumors. He's not in the tomb. It's the third day." And the Bible says they were downcast. They put their faces down. They had lost all hope. Jesus, the Messiah who was going to save them, was dead, and their hope was gone. So Jesus took a walk with them on the same road as they walked so he could talk to them. There are so many of us in life who are facing discouraging times, hard times. We're asking the question why as we walk down the road of life. Maybe you've lost a job, or this past year you lost a loved one. Or maybe you have been betrayed and let down. Your husband or your wife failed you. You've lost your joy, you've lost your hope. You're wondering, is there any future? Is there any hope? And you're asking the question, why? I've got wonderful news for you on this Resurrection Sunday. As you walk down the road of life discouraged, Jesus comes to walk with you. And as he did with Cleopas and possibly his wife, he asks the questions, what's up, guys? Jesus is interested in what you're going through. He wants you to understand that there is hope. There are many of us in life who've had things happen to us that have seemed to be God-ordained things. And then disappointment comes along. It's a story of suffering. I heard about a woman who has a very powerful ministry to people who've lost their loved ones, to the bereaved. For many years, she'd wanted a husband, and she fell in love with a young man who was not a Christian. But he came to church, and eventually he gave his life to Christ, and they were married. And just a couple of years later, tragically, he died. Her hope, her life was shattered. But Jesus ministered to her, and now she has a powerful ministry reaching out to those who've lost loved ones. Her tragedy was turned into triumph because along the road of suffering that she walked, Jesus came alongside her. There are many examples in the Bible of exactly the same. Joseph had a promise from God, but it seemed to be taken away when he was sold into slavery and he was betrayed by his family. And he ended up as a slave, and there too he was betrayed by Potiphar's wife, and he ended up in prison. And even in prison, though he became the best prisoner and had been the best servant, he was betrayed again and forgotten. But that path of suffering was his time of learning and preparation for what God wanted him to do. We need to understand, as Jesus came to these disciples, that he was trying to do something in them. What about King David? By the way, Joseph was just a teenager when he experienced that. What about David? He was anointed king, and then he ran for 20 years of his life, running from Saul. He was just a teenager when that began too. But you see, God-ordained dreams sometimes are dashed by God-ordained circumstances. And the road to success is often paved with suffering. And the path to delight is paved with disappointment. And as we walk along the road, and as we walk along the path of discouragement or suffering, we trudge down that road. Jesus comes to walk with us. There are three things I want you to see with me in this story today. Number one, these two disciples were blind. They were blinded by their pain, by their loss of hope. The Bible says they looked down as they walked. They stood still, their faces downcast. They had lost divine perspective. They saw as men see, not as God sees. They saw the present disappointment and difficulty, but God saw the delight and the future of hope. They saw the problem, but God saw the solution. And I want you to understand that Jesus wants us to have that Bible perspective. When we have unbelief, it blinds us to the truth. Don't let your pain or your loss or your suffering blind you from the truth. The second thing is that their eyes were opened. How were their eyes opened? By the scriptures. Jesus rebuked them for their unbelief. And then the Bible says, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. The answer for the problems that we have are in the Bible. Faith comes from hearing the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. When you listen to the Bible, faith rises in your heart. Faith opens up your eyes. Faith makes the impossible possible. If you want to be discouraged, read the newspaper. If you want to be encouraged and filled with faith and hope and optimism, read your Bible. Jesus opened up the Bible and he explained to them all that should happen about him. And then the third thing was, they saw Jesus. As they were walking down the road and Jesus was explaining these things to them, the Bible says, they said their hearts were burning inside them. Truth was capturing their hearts. But they saw Jesus. When did they see Jesus? When they invited them, Jesus, into their home. And Jesus took the bread and he broke it and he gave thanks and he gave it to them. Perhaps they remembered one of the times that he was with them over the last 3 years and they recognized the way that he broke bread. Maybe for the first time they looked and they saw the nail prints in his hands. And suddenly they realized this incredible truth. He is alive. And the moment they believed it, he disappeared. When you see Jesus, everything changes. When you see Jesus for who he really is, the living Son of God who defeated death and the grave, everything changes. They got up, they immediately returned to Jerusalem, and they came to where the disciples and others were gathered. Maybe it was the 70 that had gathered. And while they were there, Jesus himself came and stood among them. Jesus revealed himself to them as to who he was. I want to encourage you on this Easter Sunday. Our Lord Jesus is risen from the dead, and no matter what you're going through on the road of life, he comes to walk with you. He cares about you. He wants to make himself known and real to you. So, in conclusion, tell Jesus your problem, just as Cleopas and possibly his wife told Jesus their problem. Secondly, listen to his word. Thirdly, let his presence strengthen you. We don't have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace and help in our time of need. What does the resurrection mean to us? It means, number one, we have hope. Hal Lindsey, an author, said, man can live about 40 days without food, about 3 days without water, about 8 minutes without air, but only 1 second without hope. Jesus is our hope. He is alive. We have hope. We have hope now in this life. He's bigger than any problem that we're facing. Hope is the anchor for our souls. When the storms of life batter you, hope will keep you grounded and secure in the truth of the resurrection of Jesus. We have hope not only now, but in the life to come. Billy Graham once met the Prime Minister of England, Winston Churchill, in the middle of the Great War. He was going through great difficulty. And Mr. Churchill, the Prime Minister, said, Mr. Graham, what is our hope? And confidently, Billy Graham answered, Mr. Prime Minister, Jesus is our hope. The second thing is, not only do we have hope, but we are winners. Yes, you and I are winners. We can't lose. The Bible tells us that in all of the circumstances of life, we are more than conquerors. I want to tell you today that Jesus defeated death, and there's not one enemy big enough to defeat you, God's person. Thirdly, you can trust his word. His word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. His word is yes and amen. The Bible says he sent out his word and he healed them. The songwriter wrote this, and I used to sing it when I was a boy. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus says the Lord. Jesus said it, I believe it, it's true, yes, it's true. The resurrection of Jesus is our guarantee. Number four, Jesus is always with us. He will never abandon us. As you walk the journey of life, he is there. Another song I used to sing when I was a little boy was, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me that I am his own. And the joy that we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. No one will bring you joy and meaning and peace like the resurrected Jesus. Finally, I want to just say this. These two disciples would never have experienced Jesus had they not invited him in. Jesus was going to walk on, but they said, no, come and stay with us. I want you to know that when you invite Jesus into your heart and into your home, his presence makes all the difference. So won't you invite him today? Even if you've loved him all your life and you've known him for many years, invite him again. Come, Lord Jesus, live in my heart. Maybe you're here today and you don't know Jesus, and sin has got a hold of your heart. Maybe you're discouraged and far away from Jesus. Invite him in today. He will change your life forever, because that's what Jesus does. Can I pray with you? Father, thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross to pay for the sins of the world. Thank you for raising him from the dead and defeating our greatest enemy, death. We have hope today, and we put our faith in Jesus. Thank you for Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Happy Easter. He is risen.
Thank you for listening. We hope this sets you up to live a truly blessed life. Tune in next time as we continue to explore the scriptures and learn how we can overcome fear with our faith. For comments and feedback or counseling, write to connect@vototochurch.com.